in my teaching, I'm hoping to show them that there's a whole lot of different ways to accomplish your goals. And the biggest step is just to try. And once you try, it's amazing what you can get.
We'd like to thank our sponsors, William Ravis, the official realtor of the Arts Foundation, the Kelly Foundation, and the Cape Cod Foundation. We couldn't do it without your support. We'd like to thank Bank 5, Cape Cod 5, Cape and Islands Workforce Board, the Cooperative Bank of Cape Cod. Hey there, this is Julie Wake, the Executive Director of the Arts Foundation of Cape Cod. Now in its fifth season, the Creative Exchange Podcast is a celebration of the artists, arts leaders, and creative minds and their artistic journeys to bring joy, offer connection, and inspire hope through their work. Through the Creative Exchange, we discover what it means to be an artist in today's world and how the arts can bridge cultures and provide positive, meaningful change across all sectors and in our lives and our local, national, and global communities. I had the honor of speaking with Sam Holmstock and Joe Diggs, two well-known artists here on Cape Cod. Joe is a visual artist who is working on a body of work that celebrates his family and heritage, while Sam is a musician, a drummer who, beyond working in different bands, Sam also provides workshops that support our neurodiverse populations through the power of music and drumming. These two artists met while working together to support incarcerated youth through their art and have become fast friends and cheerleaders for one another and those they serve. As you can imagine, this isn't an easy job. This is a subject that is challenging, heartbreaking, and inspiring. It's a subject we need to learn more about. Please welcome Joe Diggs and Sam Holmstock. Joe and Sam, welcome to the Arts Foundation today.
Thank you.
Hi, Julie. How are you?
I'm doing well. You guys look healthy and happy on this Friday. Sunny? Is it still sunny?
Sunny. The sun is shining and it's getting warmer.
Yeah, we need it, don't we?
Yes.
When we started the podcast recordings for season 5, it was freezing and people had COVID left and right. So this is like so nice.
Much better.
It's much better. So welcome. I am super excited to talk about a couple of things with both of you today, about your collaboration, working with youth, as well as your individual work as artists. And so I'd love to just, you know, kind of set the groundwork for what we're going to talk about. I'd love for you to share your backgrounds on, you know, what you do on your in your day-to-day. And Sam, do you want to start?
I'll start. Day-to-day?
As it relates to the arts.
As it relates, no.
We don't need to know what you had for breakfast, unless you want to share.
No, I don't want to share. I pretty much, about 99% of what I do is I bring access to drumming and music in general to numerous neurodiverse populations here on Cape Cod. I'm now working at Chip's House, which is brain injured folks who are so fun. Those people are so fun.
They really are. That is such an amazing facility right in Centerville.
Yeah.
You know, great little spot.
Yep. And I've been working at the May Institute weekly for, I don't know, 10 years now.
What does drumming give to this population?
You know, the whole process of drumming and singing, and it gets neurotransmitters pumping that they may have had a deficit of. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it just goes on and on and on from there.
Mm. And I had the opportunity to sit in a drumming class with you.
There's drumming through trauma, which is was originally created for PTSD vets, and I do have vets that still come, but it's just open to everybody now, so that you know, anybody with any kind of trauma is welcome to show up and drum for an hour, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And some people want to do it at a higher level than others, and some people just want to come in and bang on the drum, which is...
Yeah. It feels good. It's so interesting. I can't wait to dig deeper into that. Let's talk to Joe here.
Yes, let's talk to Joe.
Let's talk to Joe.
Hi, guys.
It's so great to see you again.
Good to see you as well.
So we know that you are this incredible painter, deep thinker. Tell us a little bit about the type of artwork that you're working on right now. And
well, right now I'm continuing the theme of family and place. So there's a lot of just trying to anchor my history and family within the bigger conversation of art, so that people, when they see contemporary art, they see my work as a contemporary piece, they can kind of get an understanding of who I am and what my family was all about through the paintings. Mm. So I do that. And of course, Sam and I work together with the juveniles. I kind of push those things forward.
Yeah. I love that. And tell me a little bit, how did the two of you meet?
Do we meet in this program?
I think so. I don't know. It's been 10 years now.
So let's talk about what program you're referring to.
Well, it's an artist in residence program.
Okay.
That is funded through Kituat Center for the Arts.
Oh, I did mm-hmm. not know that.
Yeah. Yes. And that's really part of how...
That's how we really kind of connected.
We connected. Well, actually, let me just back up a little bit. It's funded through Commonwealth Corporation, which is a state-funded organization that provides training and arts education for, you know, places like Nauset Academy in Brewster.
Okay.
Which is where we do our thing.
So I just want to make sure everyone knows what we're talking about. So we're talking about youth involved in the juvenile justice system.
Yes.
And the two of you met in this program as individual artists, bringing the visual arts and drumming to this population. Why do they have this? What is your interest in this? Like, why do you do it?
Well, it started out, we did it because at the time, the education director at Kituat Center for the Arts was Lenore Lyons.
Oh, yes.
I'd worked with her a bunch, and she asked me if I wanted to participate. And I was absolutely, you know, yeah. Absolutely. At that time, they had a pretty nice budget. They bought a bunch of drums for these guys. And, you know, I had the opportunity to do my thing and hone my skills. It really helped,
yeah.
You know.
As an artist that. Individually, like yes. to teach mm-hmm. is always to learn too,
oh,
right?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And to teach effectively.
Mm.
And yeah, it was great. And then the program evolved over the years, and it, you know, it's still a great program, but the population is much lower now mm-hmm. because they don't really want to send kids to jail. They really want to send them home.
That's a good sign.
It is
hearing
a sign.
That.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, right now the population is up as we've seen it, but it's not ridiculous. When we first went in there, it was like 14 or 15 kids at a pop. You know, and one person handling all these kids was not easy.
No,
not easy at all. And it's still not easy, but it's more.
Yeah, and we're dealing around eight or so youth. So it's not too bad.
Yeah, between six and eight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about the kids that you're working with. Like, where are they from?
They're generally from the Southeast.
Okay. Of Massachusetts.
Yes.
Dorchester, okay. Brockton, Fall River, New Bedford, Cape Cod.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I got to say. And I think Joe will agree. They're all really smart. They're really bright. They're really creative.
Oh, yeah. mm-hmm.
And the job is to get them to just bust out of their institutional behavior, you know, because at this point, most of these guys, they've been in custody for some time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is.
It is that. And, yeah. And I think what happens too, when you're talking about youth being in this position, then they don't have a future. They don't see a future. They don't want to see a future particularly. They all come from marginalized positions in life. You know, I shouldn't say all of them, but most of them come from marginalized. And so we're there to, I like to think that we're there to kind of give them better life skills. You know, in my teaching, I'm hoping to show them that there's a whole lot of different ways to accomplish your goals. And the biggest step is just to try. And once you try, it's amazing what you can get. But if you don't try, there's never any results. Of course, they have problems. They have trust problems. That's one of the largest issues is trust with them.
Is and that kind of common?
That's a common
trait
theme
that you see.
It is because, you know, like, because of how their lifestyle is.
Yeah.
Once you've been betrayed, and that's they all feel like they've been betrayed in within the system and everything else because of their situation. Now they're not totally willing to open up and say, okay, let's give this life a run. Let's do it. So my idea is if we can open their mind up, kind of, I hate to say this in this way, but kind of trick them a little bit to make them understand that you learn a lot of different ways. You don't learn, learning isn't always like putting your head into a book. Learning can be just by observing life from day to day. And if you can find a way to observe things and put it in a proper perspective, you have an opportunity in life to do things. So that's my approach to it. And I think that Sam and I, when we collaborate, he kind of hits, like you said, all those neuro things. And I try to open up their mind in a different way, mm-hmm. in a kind of a more, I don't know, how would you say that? My way would be
practical.
Yeah, would be more practical.
Yeah.
That's really it.
And one of the tools that we are given is the showcase that we just mentioned. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because the art is sold and like 85% roughly of the proceeds go to the kids, right to them.
Right to them.
Cash, money. So we use that as a little bit of a, you know,
motivation.
Carrot
mm-hmm.
to get them to do things that they might not ordinarily do. And then, crazily enough, they start doing it and then boom, you know.
This is fun. All of a sudden it becomes fun.
They like it.
Yeah.
And it feels good.
And there's the, you know, the possibility that you can, you know, go home with a new pair of basketball sneakers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's an odd thing too, because you are bribing them. You know, we come in, well, like, it's one of the first things I throw at them is, hey, look, you know, you do this, we go to the showcase, you sell your artwork, you know, you'll make 85%. Why don't we make 100%? They say back. And I'm like, well, because that's not life. You're not going to get 100% back in life. I said, and I get an opportunity to explain it from a professional artist point of view. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't even get 100% of my work when it's sold in the gallery. So, you know, I only get 50. So you guys feel good. You're getting 85. And then we break everything down, how cost and how, you know, there's cost in the framing, there's cost in the, you know, the production of the whole show. So therefore you don't get 100% for an obvious and good reason. And then we throw that carrot out in front of them, like, okay, so let's see how many you can actually create.
I love it. I love it. And do you see like transformations, or what kinds of transformations do you see from the beginning to the showcase?
Well, we like to showcase a particular student that we had there who, when he first came there, he was on suicide watch. And then... all I can tell you is what happened when he got with us, because I don't know what happened, you know, the rest of the day. He came to us and we set him up with, you know, he was doing art with Joe and he was doing computer music with me. And it turned out that he was brilliant at both. Mm-hmm. Absolutely brilliant. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he went from, again, suicide watch to...
An arts leader.
An arts leader, yeah.
So what they do in the showcase is they'll if whoever has leaders in their programs, thank you, that they will promote them ahead of everyone. They get more art into the show. And he was just incredible. He had multiple soundtracks in. He had multiple pieces of artwork in. And so we used him as an example. When we talked to the guys, we're like, hey, a couple of the guys actually knew him. I'm like, you know him? Well, you know, he made X amount of dollars. And he's also, not only did he make the money, he's made the connections with different people. So if he wants to do this continuing on in his life, he's got an inroad. And then I go a step further and let him know. And that's more than I've ever got. You know, so what the opportunities that you're getting here are huge opportunities, mm-hmm. not just little ones. They're absolutely huge. And it's up to you to open the door. Well, we're cracking the door open for you. It's up to you to walk through it. And there'll be somebody on the other side to lend you a hand. Try to explain to them that, you know, that in these programs that not only are they doing similar to what you guys are doing in your programs with the assets for artists, but they're getting a business plan together for them. They're trying to understand how to make logos. They're trying to promote them as a total business. If they really are into it, it can happen. Mm-hmm. So, you know, get them to think forward. Look forward. Don't look back at what you've done, your transgressions. Move forward to what your bright future has.
Right, right. So they're starting to think about rebuilding right. and transformation.
Yeah.
How does someone get through it with, you know, surviving trauma? And what is a common trait that you might see in these kids or in programming that does build success? Like, what do they need? Like, grit, do they need, you know?
They do need a good amount of personal grit.
Yeah.
Because we can only give them so much.
Right.
And then when they're released, they don't always go back to the greatest situations right. in their neighborhoods or so they can sort of get sucked back in, so to speak. So
easily.
That's the one kind of drag about, you know, once they're released, there are resources. DYS provides a lot of resources for post-release life. But
that's also what's important about what we're teaching, is we're actually teaching not just the actual hands-on drumming or the hands-on art. We're teaching a philosophy of life so that you can... If you can see your way through this, you can see your way through anything. We can also, you know, you weren't the same person you were when you got here. You know, let's fight the incarceration part of it so that you won't right. become systematically into it. But more importantly, let's look at yourself in a lot more positive way. So therefore, when you get out of here, you won't want to go back to the way things were because you don't want to go back to the way where you are now. You want to move forward. And so we have great conversations when we collaboratively work. A lot of times we'll put a piece of canvas on the table and all of us will work together and we'll do this thing kind of like Warhol and Basquiat did, where we cancel each other out and you have to be responsible for your, you know, if you go and cancel out a teacher and the teacher turns around and cancels you off right back, then yeah. you kind of understand that, no, your actions, you know, they mean something and therefore you need to find a better way to communicate. This is exactly what that is. These kids lack communication abilities. This opens up the door for true communication. It gives them an opportunity to really say what's on their mind. Even if they don't have the ability to actually say it, they have an opportunity to do it in a visual way. So we're trying to teach them multiple ways to communicate. And you know, when it works right, it's great. But not all of them want to because they don't trust it. They don't trust the system. They don't trust you in teaching them. So, you know, I mean, I don't know what our rate of success would be, but it's not super high. It's not super high, but everybody is, you know, it's move the whole floor up.
Yeah, it's probably different. Success exactly. means different things to different
situations.
Kids. Yeah.
Correct. But I mean, overall, I would think that we do move their wellness up a level because you can't help it.
Right.
You can't help it.
Because they're getting attention from two individuals that really care about their needs and being successful. So this is a very challenging population.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Although I will say this, we are fortunate in that the guys who come to Brewster kind of have to earn their way in. They don't take everybody in Brewster.
Okay.
And
so this is a privilege.
And it's what they call staff secure. It's
right.
They're not locked down all day long.
Okay.
They can move around a little bit, but they have to have staff with them.
Okay.
They have to have eyes on, so to speak, you know?
Okay.
And
it's not barbed wire. It's not, there's no jail action.
Okay.
It's open air. And since most of them are city oriented people, though we do have some youth, it's almost like natural jail.
Yes. Yeah, because there's nothing but trees and nature around them. So they're like,
what the heck?
And then
scares them.
And it's that scares them, and the bugs really scare them.
Yeah, the bugs.
And the aggressive squirrels.
You see these big, tough guys, these tough youth, and then, you know, a fly goes by, and they turn into just screaming, and, oh, no, it's hilarious.
That's amazing. What do you think is missing in this program? Is there anything that you're like, oh, I wish we had the resources to do?
The system doesn't particularly connect totally. I mean, there's missing pieces. You know, there's facilities managers and stuff like that who feel like they need to do this and that don't quite coordinate with you know what really needs to go down. I mean, for me personally, as an artist, what they need two things. They need a space. They need a full-time permanent space that's dedicated for the arts, not a school room that they can go in. We've had some problems with like water and bathrooms and where all we need is a facility. We need a facility. And I've been preaching lately a safe zone. I've been really preaching a safe zone.
What's
where
that
they
mean?
Could actually go, a small room where they could go and kind of draw paint, throw paint around.
Be
get
alone.
Out, yeah, be alone, get aggression out, you know, and have no repercussion.
Yep.
Just if they want to write swear words on the wall, just go ahead and do it.
Yep.
Let it all out and then leave it there so that they have an opportunity to let some of the stuff out so they don't end up passing it on to each other.
You know, we have seen kids' stress levels just go down dramatically, you know, with, you know, painting and a little bit of music, you know?
Amazing, but not surprising, right?
No,
to the
no.
three of us, like that makes sense to me. What is sad and frustrating, and I can hear the frustration in your voice about like feeling like this is a last resort or a second thought, that the arts should actually be
exactly.
a priority in the transition of healing.
And it actually, with this group, I believe it should be one of the first. It should be right up front. Because we're not talking, we're talking about individuals who struggle with learning. You know, there's a lot of ADHD, there's a lot of that kind of situation going on. So as a person who struggled with it myself, I know that the arts saved me. It's what made me an adult. It gave me the opportunity to become an adult. And so I speak the truth to these kids. I don't, you know, I just tell them exactly. I tell them how much my paintings went for. I tell them, you know, how much time I put in, the whole thing. And I just try to be extremely, extremely honest with them, because that's the key that's missing. You know, they don't trust. And if you don't trust, you're never going to get anywhere. So you have to trust yourself so you can step out and become a full-fledged human being, tax-paying individual in the world. And, you know, that's the goal.
Yeah, a productive human.
That's right.
Making positive impact to other humans, right?
If possible.
That's what we all hope for.
Yeah.
Right? If possible.
And remember that they're the opposite of everything of what you just spoke of. So,
right. So
you know, you can't teach them everything. You're not going to. But I think you give a little bit and you hope that that's enough to nourish it. It's amazing when you see their eyes open up. I keep telling them all the time, like, wait until you see. And they all look at me like, you're so full of it. I'm like, no, wait until you see. Your eyes, one day you'll see. And you'll see your work and you'll go like, wow, that's cool. That's cool. And then when it happens, I go, you just saw that, didn't you? And they'll look at me like, yeah, I did.
Because you can feel it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, the excitement happens. We flipped about, well, this last one, we flipped, what, three kids?
Yeah.
You know,
what do you mean by flipped three
so
kids?
So they come in and they'll look at you like, this is crap. This is absolutely BS. We're not doing any of this. And they just sit standing
like when
around
you
with
say,
the arms crossed.
So they're like, the art being in the art room with two artists is BS.
Right.
Like that we're not going to learn anything.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so you
And the whole thing
three.
Is BS because they've, you know, remember they've come from one.
No one's been honest with them.
Well, and also they just went to school for a little while and they move around from this program thing to this program thing. Now we're going to put you in this and now you need to be here. So they come to us and it's kind of like, okay, now we got to deal with these two clowns, right? They look at us like, are you kidding me? And then I'm like, yeah. And then here I go with my spiel with, you know, you'll learn and you won't even know it. And they look, yeah, right, buddy. I mean,
right.
The whole thing is just, are you kidding? And then, you know, So when it happens, we can't even get them, we barely get them excited about the showcase. I mean, their job is to act like nothing matters. And then, but when you put, say, two or three lines down and you of a painting and you look at it and say, what do you see? And then all of a sudden they say, oh, I see a landscape. And I'm like, well, how do you see that landscape? And they'll say, oh, I see sand dunes back there. I'm like, oh, well, welcome to seeing. Like, look, you've just opened your mind. It's not there, but you're seeing it. And then we can pursue it because you're seeing it. And that's how it begins. Your vision starts opening up so that you actually, and when Sam starts with the drums with them, then all of a sudden the rhythms start getting them and they start understanding that there's a rhythm to life. They start moving a little bit. It's a great combination. And when we're pretty powerful when it comes together. We look pretty weak though when it doesn't. It's bizarre.
Tell me about that. What are the challenges sometimes? Is it the chemistry of the group sometimes? I can imagine.
Well, you know, in many ways, these guys, like I said, they're super talented, they're super smart.
Yeah.
And they don't want to learn anything. They just want to do. They just want to do and have it come out perfect.
That's my 10-year-old son. Right.
That's exactly what we're doing.
Yeah.
And so, you know.
Funny.
So we try to keep that kind of thing on the down low and just let them go.
Like, here's a paintbrush, here's a drum. Let's go for it for 5 minutes and then we're going to.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's amazing to see one. Like, I've had people who I thought were going to be the next big artist in the group, but they didn't want to wash brushes afterwards. So therefore they never did painting. They just always did everything. They'll tell, oh, I just draw. Well, you just draw because you're too lazy to clean a brush or you're above cleaning brushes. That's really what it is. So, you know, I mean, but that's, so there's a lot that goes on to this. There's a lot that, and then in that becomes a hierarchy, you know, and then within that becomes who's the A dog of the pack. And there's a lot of intertwined things that happen within that we're not privy to. Mm-hmm. And then we have to kind of come in and hope that we can settle everybody down enough so that they can actually enjoy their day a little bit by just getting away.
Right.
You know, my side of it too is I keep telling them, oh, you're doing time. Right? There's no better way to do time than to create. You won't know where you are. You'll get lost in time. Your time will become your time, not their time. It'll be your time. And if you actually steal your own time, if you hold your time, you can get out of here a lot quicker than everybody else. And then they look at me like, you're really crazy. I'm like, no.
It's so true.
Here's a journal. I give them a sketch pad.
Yeah.
Here's your sketch pad. Write your lyrics that you want to rap down. But that's too much work. Look, write, you know, draw yourself. Draw everything. Draw anything and everything that you want to. And sometimes they do a little bit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it always helps.
Yeah. Yeah. Teaching that there's a routine, a structure to everything. It's really interesting. I can't help think of my own kids and their routines and trying to get them to, like, you know, my daughter is a painter and the process of cleaning her brushes now has been like, she's really proud of knowing like what she'll be like, that's my bottle of Gams. It's a painterly thing. Mm. And she's proud of that. Yeah. But before that, it was like she'd just leave everything out. And I was like, this is unacceptable. I'm not buying you any more brushes because you have to clean them. So teaching that as part of the process of being an artist, of producing or making something is, those are critical life skills that you're teaching. And
I
you
like
can't
so.
Skate through it.
And with that, you know, it needs the support of, you know, facilities directors. It needs the support of all the different entities that run it so that they make sure that this kind of is first and foremost. But there's people who still kind of believe that, okay, these kids only need to learn this for survival skills. Mm-hmm. They only need to learn that. Maybe if they, you know, if they work alongside with a couple of our people from the grounds, that'll be enough for them to move on because their life, they're pretty much keeping them in a capsule saying that, you know, that's pretty much as good as their life is ever going to be. Where, of course, I'm looking at it like, I don't know who you're going to be, but you could be something special. So why don't you just go ahead and show us what you can be? Mm. And but it's a different philosophy. That's all it is.
I bet they've old never schools. Heard that before, though.
Yeah.
Right? What a powerful statement. I just got like the chills when you said that. Like
they're good kids.
Well, this has just been really interesting. And I wish that we could hear more and more about projects like this or programs like this, because I think having arts and artists like yourself involved in the caretaking of our youth in this way is really critical and such important work. So I thank you both for doing this and sharing this.
Hosted by Arts Foundation's Executive Director, Julie Wake, the series is an ode to the artistic process and its unique manifestation on Cape Cod and beyond. Thanks for listening.